kings and queens, brothers and sisters, and my listening audience around the globe. Welcome to Chilling with Teddy G. Let me do a little housekeeping before we get started today. You know how we got to keep our dirty laundry clean with the Copyright Disclaimer Act of 1976. Under Title 17, Section 107, allowances is made for the fair use for the purpose such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarships, and research. Fair use is permitted by the copyright statute that may otherwise be infringed. Nonprofit, educational, or personal use tips the balance in the favor of fair use. Okay, everyone, I hope y'all got y'all favorite cup of coffee, tea, latte, water, whatever it is you prefer to drink. And join me for this next story, ladies and gentlemen, where Vicki Dillard, who's a YouTube influencer, interviews the legendary Dr. Cloud Anderson. And they're going to have an intense conversation. And it is definitely worth each and every one of you to listen to this interview, as well as sharing it with your family members, your friends, your loved ones, and everybody in the black community to get the word out, and to check Billy Dillard out and check out Dr. Claude Anderson's website. I'm not going to say too much, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get right into this interview, and we'll talk about it afterwards. All right, let's go directly to Vicki Dillard, where they're commencing in this interview right now.
Later. Dr. Claude, I normally don't do formal bios, but I just want folks to really understand who they're talking to. And as soon as I say this part, a little bit about who you are, specifically from Powernomics, which is one of my favorites, I want you to interject. Family, this is who I want you to recognize who we're talking to right now. Dr. Claude Anderson, his work of Black Labor, White Wealth, many of you are aware of that, the search for power and economic justice, it says it's a foundation for programs, policies, and research solutions of the Harvest Institute, which for those of you that don't know about his Harvest Institute, it is a national black think tank. But watch this, family. Dr. Anderson's experience spans education, business on all levels of government. He served as state coordinator of education for Governor Reuben Askew. Am I saying his name right?
Yes, you are. You're right on point.
Yes,
right,
sir. On point. Thank you. Of Florida during the tumultuous years of integration. Are y'all listening? President Jimmy Carter appointed him to the rank of an assistant secretary in the U.S. Department of Commerce, where he chaired a commission that funded and directed economic development activities for governors. Somebody talk black to me. He was the executive director of two economic development organizations for the city of Miami, Florida. As the highest ranking black on the planning committee for the 1988 Democratic Convention, he awarded 37% of the contracts to blacks. A record that has never been broken. A United States Marine, he was safety and survival instructor specialist in the Marine Air. He is a certified pilot and held numerous championship titles in wrestling, judo, and karate, and was a member of the Black Belt Federation during the 1950s through the 1960s. As an entrepreneur, he designed and constructed radio stations, aquaculture, and other business. I want us to be very clear that this is who we're talking to. This is who we're listening to. Dr. Anderson, right now, what do you believe is the state of Black America, particularly economically?
Okay, before he answers that, ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to pay close attention to his resume that sister Vicki Dillard just read to you. So you know the importance and the intelligence of the person that she's interviewing. I know y'all are going to say that you had him on the show before. Absolutely. And I'm going to keep having him on every time I can, because it's so important that you listen to Dr. Claude Anderson and you heed his words, what he's telling you, because as you can see, he knows exactly what he's talking about, and he's a very educated man. And he is definitely fighting the battle for the Native Black American people. Okay? This is what he's doing. This is what he do. This is what he had been doing for, I don't know, 50 or 60 something plus years, ladies and gentlemen. But let's go and hear his answer to that question about the current state of the black people, the black community, and these divided snakes of America today.
It's devastatingly bad and poor. Blacks are sitting on the front, are becoming wiped off the face of the earth. They are now a permanent underclass, as I predicted back in 1995. And out of all the predictions I used to enjoy making for presidents and governors and state legislators and mayors across the country, is that black folk are in a world of trouble, and nobody, black, white, yellow, melon, whatever you want to call them, has ever gone out of their way to use their national position or their state position to specifically and solely to help black folk overcome what the difficult situation they were placed in by 365 years of slavery, another 100 and some years of Jim Crow segregation, then another about 50 years of benign neglect, and now political indifference, which means they don't give a damn about blacks one way or the other. That's, with that in place, blacks folks got about almost a snowball's chance in hell of doing well. Things are bad, it's getting worse. You have no black leadership any place in America. Nobody's caring for black folk, except I guess you might have one idiot like me. I've been doing it for 60 years. I love black folk, even though some of them ain't worth a quarter, but the rest of them are good.
We love you bad. We love you bad. Dr. Anderson, with the devastating the emergency, we're in an emergency right now. We're in a state of crisis, as you just mentioned. And you have laid out so well for us that the condition that we're in is man-made, it's manufactured. And you let us know that it's actually also structural. When I was reading through your book some time ago, I had to go through some of it, look at my some of my notes to remember certain parts to reference, because you don't play. You walk heavy. I have to read and reread again when it comes down to Dr. Claude Anderson. By the way, family, you all be sure to, if any of my moderators or anybody else is in here, be sure to put his website, powernomics.com, in the website, please, because I want everybody to flood his website with purchases. I want my HBCU students and other students of other universities and colleges, I want you all, and trade schools, and social groups, and spiritual religious groups. Everybody in here needs to be posting his website, going there and buying these books, literally, by the hundreds. Can somebody please put that link in the chat for me? Now, as I'm speaking, you made it very clear in Powernomics about race, racism, and wealth. And one of the things that you made clear is that slavery is most often approached in social and moral terms, you said, and you broke down the specifics related to that. But then you said that by the time the white Europeans had secured nearly total control of the world's wealth and resources, their new concept of race established superiority on the basis of who controlled wealth, power, and resources. Remind us that about what the real definition, what's really behind this notion of wealth, I mean of race, before we get into wealth.
Yes, ma'am, you're right on point. But the unfortunate aspect of it is that very seldom or infrequently will you ever hear bring a connection between black people and the lack of wealth. And that's where we fell short during the black civil rights movement. It never did what they supposed to have done. See, when they started that civil rights movement back in the 1960s, the only thing they should have been concentrating on was to correct what all those centuries of slavery, Jim Crow semi-slavery, black codes, and then political indifference did to black folk. You say redistribute the wealth. Why? Because most people don't know what the whole point of slavery was. It was to maldistribute almost 100% of all this nation's wealth, minerals, income, power, businesses, and privileges and preferential treatment in every respect into the hands of the control of the dominant white society. You have never tried to correct it. What's the civil rights movement about? It should have been about correcting what had happened to black folk for all those 465 years put together. And instead, they've been messing around with social integration and talking about civil rights. Civil rights was supposed to have been strictly and solely for black folk to correct the Dred Scott decision of 1857.
Powerful, yes, sir. Did you all hear that? Now, you were talking about one of your predictions that you were right about our position that we're in now, but I was going over some of your previous predictions from the 90s, and you also predicted that we were going to be number four and how the Hispanic community and the Asian community would basically outrank us. How did you know that that was going to be our predicament today, especially in light of, I don't know if you heard about some months ago, the LA City Council, Dr. Claude, that is really dominated there by a group of Hispanics. There was a tape that leaked of them talking privately, and they were calling us monkeys. They were calling us all kind of names, and they slipped up and made it clear that they were trying to hold control in certain areas and economic resources for their group. Now, this tape was leaked, and they spewing all this anti-black racism. Everybody was tripping when they found out that they said their Hispanic brothers and sisters would call them out of their names, and they admitted that they were trying to hold control in that region so that their community would maintain economic control. How did you know that that would be the predicament we find ourselves in now? And I'm sure, I would assume, that you're not surprised that this audio leaked of Hispanic lawmakers using anti-black language and admitting that they were moving so that their community, they were moving in such a way so that their community would maintain the resources and control there.
I've known that all my life. See, as a matter of fact, that is almost the primary sole reason that I'm on the earth. I came to the earth almost strictly to fight for black folk, to correct what nobody's wanted to do all these centuries. That's why I'm here ever since I was 8 years old, going to a church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and hear them talk about Samson and what happened to him. And they mail distributed information about Samson. Samson came to the earth for one purpose and one purpose only. He came here as a prototype for Jesus Christ, and he developed one sense, that is, I will not come to the earth and let you continue to maltreat and mistreat and subordinate my people. And I've been on the earth ever since I was 8 years old, and that's what I'm on the earth for, even though I might have to leave here soon, but that's what I'm here for, to take care of black folk and tell you the truth about what's going on. 99% of all the blacks right now who play leadership roles at a state level, city level, and federal level, don't know what they're talking about and don't really care and have no feelings or sentiments about black people. I have the sentiments. I've done it all my life. And yet, I've never had any support from the black overclass that got all the money that are now in recreation and entertainment. They don't do that. They keep their money for themselves to what we call conspicuous consumptions, making themselves look good or being fashionable. I came here for just the opposite. I love black folk, and even though this, most of them have not read my books and not bought them, but the white reading book councils across America will not let my books go into the schools. And yet all those blacks are going to those schools. Nobody is educating them. Absolutely nobody is teaching them the truth. And that's why you're going backwards. That's why right now 50% of the black kids in Detroit, Michigan, can't even start the first grade and finish high school. And the 50% that does complete the high school are reading at a fifth grade level. They can have a snowball's chance in hell of making it. That's why I'm on the earth, and that's why I'm here now. And I'm bad, maybe soon, so I'm leaving soon, but I want you to know, you get that word out and tell them that Dr. Anderson, I don't play with people.
right now, I didn't expect to be getting emotional right now, but I want the family that's tuned in right now to not only purchase these books, read these books, implement these books. I want us family to make a commitment that we are going to use this as a plan and flood our homes, our schools, our churches, our religious institutions, wherever you find yourself. I need everybody to make a commitment to do that. Dr. Claude, I don't want to play the video because I respect your time and I don't want to use up our time playing this video, but you came up in the media big time recently. And it's no surprise, among others, one recent instance that I remember a few days ago, Roland Martin had his panel on and he was dogging me out and he listed some other black alternative media folks. And he was upset. You know why? He said, because we are reading, he mentioned your name. He said, y'all like to quote Dr. Claude Anderson. He mentioned other, some of our other powerful brothers who use alternative media. I mean, he brought you up and he was not happy that we were discussing Dr. Claude Anderson's plan for Black America. Dr. Claude, why is it that the so-called boule and the so-called academics and those who think themselves to be elite and those who are welcomed in white society, why, when you have written out the plan with your political expertise in government, which most of them that are your detractors do not have, why in the world would they stand in the way of your wisdom and your work for the black family?
Okay, before he answers that, let me tell y'all this who's not aware. Roland Martin, or Roly Poly as I affectionately call him, and Vicki Dillard are at odds with each other, and in my opinion, rightfully so, because Roland Martin is an individual who's he's out for himself, okay? And he'll use any means necessary to support him and his show rather than coming together with other alternative media outlets such as my channel, such as Vicki Dillard, such as the African Diaspora, Brother Phil Scott Show, and there's so many others out here that he bashed. So I'm not surprised when she say that he bad-mouthed this wonderful man here now, who's been devoting his time and his effort for over 60 years, as you just heard him say. So that's the reason why she's mentioning him, because, I mean, he does the raccoon shuffle and does a whole lot of other things in order to make it for himself and not just for the black community. But when as things go on and those people that he bullying for finally turn against him, then he'll see. I don't mean that he's gonna jump on the bandwagon, but he's gonna definitely see that this cooning and shuffling is not where you think it's going to take you. All right, with that being said, Dr. Claude Anderson.
For their own self-personal and self-aggrandizement, right now they understand that black folk are going to have to leave here sometime soon, and they want to be the last ones to leave. They want to spend all their money on themselves and taking care of themselves. I don't care about it. The second thing is that they're afraid. They're scared of white society. And what they do, they grab the easiest thing they're going to say to keep black folk placated. Again, by talking about everybody, using very broad and ambiguous words like minorities, poor folk, people of color, our brothers. You don't have any allies in this country. You never have had. And the ones you have had always sold you out. Not one white personality has ever gone to a political office in this country and says, my responsibility is just for the people who put me in office. I love black folk. Even though I told you a few minutes ago, some of them aren't worth the time. but for the masses of black folk, they need help. I've spent ever since I was 8 years of age fighting to be like Samson in the Bible, to take care of black folk, do the best I can. And all those books that you see I wrote, those books came when I was with presidents. I ran campaigns with two presidents. I ran for mayors and city council members, and I'm the only one that's ever done it. They don't like that because most of them, I got 7 or 8 damn degrees. My degrees right now, not more than one doctor. I got degrees on almost everything. And that's why I'm in the Marine Corps. One of the things I learned in the Marine Corps in aviation, and I'm a pilot, is to find out that there are black folks who are scared to fight for their own people. And then, and what white folks have said in the textbooks that I read years ago is that because all black folk want to do is to show whites that they're perfectly safe, all they want to do is get along with them and go to their restaurants, their hotels, their schools, their neighborhoods, and get married whites. They have no serious interest in black folk. They're not going to snap and fight for you. What they want for you is for you to come and buy something to see them either play with basketballs, baseballs, tennis balls, footballs, golf balls, and they sit on the stage and pretend they're dancing and trying to hold the balls. All they want to do is just get along and not offend white folk. That's not my problem. That's not my interest. I'm with my poor people.
And we thank you so very much. I want to bring our attention to some legal work that I'm not sure enough of us are aware that you've been doing in terms of resources for black folks as it relates to treaties and Indians. I'm switching books now. In More Dirty Little Secrets, Dr. Claude and Brant Anderson, I think you wrote this one with your son. This is volume 2, if I'm correct on this. I love this cover. It's so adorable. Again, family, you all put the link in the chat for me. Again, everybody, please share this broadcast. You all know they didn't put out my notifications, but at the right time, the right people will see the broadcast, and we assure you we're going to share it on other platforms as well. Thank you all so much. Shalina, thank you, sis. She put the website up again, so I'm going to put it across the screen. So family, get all of his books there. Thank you, Ms. Hazina, for your gift. Ms. Hazina, thanks you. It says here on page 271, a section about American Indians owe black Americans. Now that right there throws a lot of people off when they hear that. You said American Indians are indebted to black Americans for reparations, notwithstanding the popular image of American Indians as an oppressed people. You go on to say that in 1790, George Washington encouraged Indians to become, quote, civilized by modeling their behavior after white European colonialists. Of course, you say much more about how they heeded Washington's admonition and became slaveholders and slave traders like civilized whites. Did y'all hear that? Our people, too many of us don't really understand that those who we were led to believe were oppressed and whose land they say was stolen and people that were ravaged, even though we know they were black natives as well. But you specifically call this out. And you also took legal action as it relates to some of these treaties. Talk to us about that.
Well, that went back. In contracts you see in movies and here in the news about what they call something called 1816 or something with the first blacks coming to America. That's all hogwash. Blacks had been in this country for centuries. The first ones came in way back. They were called Folsom people. That was the first people on earth. Period. And so they laid the foundation for everything that's going on in the world. You know, and so-called Indians today are just Asians that crossed the Bering Straits probably about 16,000 years ago. But they crossed over. Black folk had been in this country all across it, and they came across the straits too, and came down from Canada and down into what's called Arizona and Texas, and set up colonies down there. The Folsom people, those are the oldest people in this country, not what you call Indians nowadays. 90% of so-called Indians today is a number of white folk speaking, pretending, and looking like Indians because they want to get by and get benefits that should have been going to black folk. We had a Dawson Act that says that blacks who were slaves to Indians are entitled to everything that everybody else has in this country, including what Indians are getting. You have a federal bureau right now for Indian Affairs that give $135,000 a year to every Indian in the United States. They get tons of money from the Rock Care phase to the Seminole Indians down in Florida through the gambling casinos. And black folk, they all of those tribes, the Choctaw, Chickasaw, Creeks, and Cherokee Indians. And out of my family, I had ancestors that were Indians, and they were part of the Greeks. And again, they signed on with the whites and got paid to chase down every runaway slave and bring him back to the master. And they also got $25 for every runaway they brought back. They got $22 for every one they brought back, and they couldn't bring him back alive to bring back his scalp with his ears attached to the scalps and bring those back, and he got paid for it. And also they got paid to whip those blacks and unmercifully in the woods before they bring them back to the white master to scare the hell out of him so he would never try to run away again. And they fought with the South. They signed a contract with the South to fight to maintain slavery. And right now, they're still in the government, and the government took the money that should have gone to black folk, went into the Federal Indian Bureau. And what we sort of thought, and black folks should have had a what we call a Native Black Americans Federal Bureau that would have been providing all these benefits to black folk. But all those benefits are going to Indians. They get them every year, and that's why Obama gave money, all kinds of money to the Indians, and not one penny to blacks.
Did you all hear that? Did you all hear that? He breaks it down. Family, before some of us, when you mentioned about how Obama even gave him some of them. Now, Obama, while in office, our so-called first black president, he did an interview with Ta-Nehisi Coates. And in the interview, he argues against black folks specifically getting reparations. And do you know one of the things that he said, Dr. Claude? He said, what are Asians and Latino immigrants going to say when they come here and have to help pay for reparations? He said that he was concerned about what the immigrants, Asians he said specifically, and Hispanics he said specifically. He said because they're going to say to themselves that they're first generation, and what did they have to do with slavery?
They had a lot to do with it. What he failed to understand, even though he supposedly taught history and over at Harvard, and he must not have known that much, because what he taught was not correct.
Yeah.
The whole issue is not whether or not the Indians were Asians were held home as slaves. The issue is who benefited from slavery. Every Asian, the Asians owned slaves. American Indians had slaves. They also fought to maintain the South with slaves. In every country on the earth, every religion, every culture group, every language group, every ethnic group, and every economic group has all had slaves. And that's why they owe black folk, because they benefited from it. And they, right now, they owe black folk about $23 to $25 trillion in back income. And right now, the Indians, right now and you tell them to go to the website, look up the Indian lawsuit right now. I'm trying to get money from the federal government that these owe black folk. Indians owe black folk, where the average black folk person right now gets one penny. Indians get money every year from the federal government through the Federal Indian Bureau. That federal bureau was supposed to be set up for black folk in 1865 put black folks into a protected class. And guess what? They put Indians into the damn protected class, so they get the benefits every year. They put white women into a protected class, so they get benefits every time the white man gets something. Nobody gives black folk one penny because we have no leadership. The ones that are leading don't know a damn thing about what they're talking about.
Wow. You all notice what our brother wants us, Dr. Clark Anderson wants us to look it up, because you spent years in court to legally fight for us to get resources. What can any of us do to assist with that? And also, please talk to us a little bit about Harvest Institute and supporting your work, because it's the people that's going to be the ones to take this on, because black looking folks who want just nearness to whiteness, they don't have any interest apparently in funding this. And in any successful war, we know that the war chest needs to be fat.
Right, and see, and a real tragedy is they're providing benefits into society to all the people that were slave owners and slave traders. See, the white South, they're still getting benefits. They were not supposed to be getting them. When the land sold, be given to black people, saying that if in fact you help us fight this war, the Civil War, which black folk did, over 200 some thousand blacks joined the North because the whites would not fight the war for the South. For the North. So we're not going to get into that. We're not fighting, giving our lives to save no black folk. And but yet they went, so they put out what's called a black flag policy, which told Southern whites and Indians that if you catch any blacks wearing the Northern uniform, he is to be instantly put to death, shot in and thrown into the water, into a river or lake. And so therefore, that's why you'll never see a black in prison during the Civil War. They were all killed under what they call a black flag policy. That same policy was used by Southern whites, and it wasn't the leader of it, became finally the chief Ku Klux Klansman in the United States.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Now, did y'all hear that? This is what's going on in America back then and today. And I want y'all to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that phrase that Dr. Claude Anderson uses, that blacks are permanently, not partially, permanently a underclass in the divided snakes of America until they wipe us out. That's the importance of what I want y'all to hear. That's the reason why you got to stand, ladies and gentlemen. You got to stand now. Because our children's children don't stand a chance of continuing the legacy of blacks in America. Okay? He explained to you clearly that we have been here all the time, before the Indians. But you know why they teach that when Columbus discovered America, that the Indians were here already? That's just another ploy that they use in order to keep not giving blacks their reparations. Okay, like he told you, it's in the trillions of trillions of trillions of dollars what black people are owed. So their lies and their false narratives have been painted from the beginning. This is what we see right here, right now. Let's get back to Bickie Dillard and see what else astonishing information that we can receive.
This is really something. Dr. Claude, talk to us about the Harvest Institute. Talk to us about what we can do to support this think tank and to support the great work that you're doing for us.
But right now, the Harvest Institute is set up to work strictly on the educational reform of black folk and come up with a plan to do with it what needs to be done. See, right now, black folk are doing everything upside down and backwards. Social integration destroyed black folk. But when black folk in Clinton, South Carolina, were boycotting the schools, they weren't boycotting for social integration. What they were boycotting for was the maldistribution of the resources. In North Carolina, that particular time, For every white child going to school, they got $12 to run the schools. They only got $1.50 for every black child going to school. Where white kids had swimming pools in their schools, the black kids dammed up the creeks and so they could swim in the creeks and the alleys. And when white kids had tennis courts, black kids have a piece of wire and playing tennis, just hanging up. When black kids, white kids in all their schools, like in North Carolina, Haynes and Rimmel High Schools, those high schools were big white schools. Guess what? They all had swimming pools. Guess what black folks had for swimming? Just go down to the creek and swim in the water. That's it. And so consequently, blacks have never got their resources. And yet, when you get with social integration, it means destroy what belongs to black folk and get rid of it. Because we don't want anything black, and that was headed up by an executive committee with the NAACP.
My.
Dr. Clark, who's the one that's been supporting you the most over the years?
Poor blacks. I have blacks for some time. They send me letters and doctors. I only got $3 to my name, but I'm putting one of those dollars in here for you, a black woman. Send us a letter. I put that on my wall. And out in California, one day I was speaking at Fred Price's church out there, and they had a big commotion out front. And I said, "What's the commotion?" They said, "We got a guy here. He's gonna fight if we don't let him in to see you." I said, "Let him in. Let me talk with him." He came in. He said, "Dr. Adams," he said, "I represent the poor blacks in Los Angeles, the downtrodden, people living on the streets." He says, "We took up a collection for you to help you out." Mm-hmm. And I had put it inside of a $20 bill because it was too much bags of change and nickels and dimes and quarters. He said, "Now I want to give it." They told me to give you this $20. I have that $20 right now in my house, right now. Oh, I said, "I'll never spend it." But they said, "This is, but all of us hear you every day, and we know that nobody has any money will ever give you a penny to help you. And we know that you give your money. I might spend $200,000 or $300,000 just on the lawsuits." Yeah, I needed the money, but personally, because none of them have given me a money, but I don't care. I don't want them to give me the money. I said, "Please let me die and go back to heaven or someplace without you having done anything for me." And I said, "I don't care." But I said, "I'll tell you one thing. You will never see me turn my back on black folk. I'll be the only one out here by myself fighting around the world." And I've given speeches throughout the Caribbean, and spoken to kings and queens in Europe, Germany, France, England, Venezuela, Colombia, all around the world by myself at my own expense.
We thank you, and we can't thank you enough. I'm sharing this because I want to do a call to action for all of us and to focus. I do spiritual courses on the power of our ancestral lineage, the spiritual significance of that. And I think a big part of that is having an understanding and the foresight to be concerned about not just our four no more, but our family in this generation and the generations to come, which is why we bow to you and we have such respect for you because of the plan you literally put together, a national plan for Black America. And it's so important for us to think in advance. You constantly push that our power is in the group, it's moving as a block. When you talked about voting, what are your thoughts about the current election season that we just came out of it appears now that the Republicans are now controlling the House, but the Democrats seem to be running still keeping their hold on the Senate. What are your thoughts politically now in terms of how we can best engage the most effective way we should be engaging? And I'm saying that quickly because I remember hearing you say that we should all either register to vote and we don't tell either side who we're going to vote for all the way up even until election day until we see who's going to do the most for our people. And then you even went on to talk about, you know, independence and so forth. What are your thoughts about our current election state?
It's critically important for them to have their own black party. Neither party is going to ever do anything for you. Never in the history of this nation has the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or the Independent Party or the Green Party or the National Party has never done anything for black folk. Not one black president has ever come out and done anything specifically and solely for black folk. They do it for every other group. Right now, you got Biden in the White House. Guess what? He made all kind of promises to help black folk. He hasn't even mentioned the word black. Neither has Harris, his vice president. They have never done anything for you. They're gonna try to run again and use you as it's just like toilet paper. They just use you and throw you away. But what black folk have to say is that if we won't vote solidly as a black, you got 47 million black folk in America. All you gotta do is withdraw from both parties, point one. Point two, so we're gonna vote for put a black party into existence. And we're gonna tell everybody we're not running any candidates for blacks. Don't run any candidates with the black party. All you wanna do is just have the power in your vote. Don't want to run any candidates. You say, "I don't care what color you are, what religion you belong to. We will vote for and support whoever promises the most and delivers the most to the black people in this across America. Because none of you ever done a damn thing for them." That's how you get your money, that's your power. And then you tell those black folk, and the individual you're going to vote for, you write on a piece of paper exactly what you're going to do in terms of changing that thing that Anderson talked about, that you gave, put 100% of all the wealth, power, resource, businesses, income, materials, preferences, and everything into the hands of the dominant white society. 99% of everything in the country, from New York to San Diego, belongs to whites. You cannot win in a society where you own less than one half of 1%. You don't own enough of anything to be important. But what you say now, I said, that's okay. We're going to go for what we're going to get in the future. If you don't promise anything, you won't get anything from us. It's called quid pro quo.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And one day, if I came, I ran campaigns for all different levels. And it was only recently other people started running campaigns. You know, I'm for the Democratic Party, I'm for the Republican Party. I said, I'm for black folk, period. I don't mind being black. It's not that bad once you get used to the pain of being black. I said, I've gotten used to it. Doesn't bother me at all.
Wow. Well, I'm telling you, you are head and shoulders above all others. To go to powernomics.com. We want everybody to go to powernomics.com to be sure to support and to buy up the books. I'm talking about y'all buy them by the dozens. I'm not somebody that's running my mouth. I bought them in bulk, and I'm going to continue to support Dr. Claude, his lovely wife, and however they want to distribute any funds that I send to them, that's how I want them to utilize it in the best way that they believe is possible, see fit rather. So family, I want us to make sure that we're going to not only purchase these books, but teach these to our children. I want us to have home school parties. I want us, you know, to bring folks over to have these sorts of discussion. We're talking about book clubs and all these different types of things. This is exactly what we can do to manifest this and to make this a reality. Dr. Claude, when you were in government and you ensured that, I believe it was 37% of black contractors received resources, did you have some opposition in doing that? And how did you manage to maneuver to do that, to actually deliver tangibles to your people when you were in government?
Well, because I'm always right, very direct, and I try to base it on accurate information that I have from the positions I'm working from. If I'm one of the president and governors, that's why Governor Askew put me over education, everything from the elementary school all the way up to graduate schools. And that's why I fought strictly for black folk. And they told me social integration means close down all the black schools, fire the black teachers, fire the black administrators, bus all the black kids, 75% of them to white schools in white neighborhoods. That's why right now white folks call critical racism. We don't all know anything about black folk. Yes, that's right, because you're ignorant. I hope you don't ever read anything about black folk. I want to educate black folk. You white folk, keep doing what you've been doing, because sooner or later you're going to learn this. This is the concluding thing. Black folk are exceptional people. Mm-hmm. They're unique people. They're special people. I told black folk to quit using these words, very broad, ambiguous terms. And you're not African Americans. You're native black Americans. Native, you were here before everybody else. You're the one that built the damn country. You got rid of the barrels, the rocks, the snakes. You built the bridges and the canals. You were the workforce. You were the labor that drove the engines in this country. Because you were the strongest thing. Blackness on the earth is the most powerful thing you can get. Black crayon in a color-based spectrum. And out of all those colors, blackness is the most powerful color. You go out to the universe. In the universe, blackness, the black hole, is the most powerful thing in the universe. And that's what white's going to find out pretty soon, that the greatest power in the universe and on earth is blackness. Blackness will run over everything and take it all out. Black paint hardens faster than anything. Black paint is the best paint you can get. Tell black folk to quit running from blackness and quit trying to always be white and try to move in with, I'm going to get me a white woman, some white children. Your blackness will eventually come to force, and whites in the final days is getting close now. They're going to find out the power of blackness is the greatest power on the earth or in the heavens, and call yourself native, because if you call yourself African-American, that's what white folk wanted you to do, and they started that in the 1830s. They say that we're going to integrate, or we're going to get rid of slavery, and we don't want to owe blacks anything, so there'll be no reparation. Just use the word Africa, because we've never done anything for Africa, and we can prove that we don't owe Africa anything. You're absolutely, you're right, but you do owe the native blacks. 99% of all the black folk in America were here before 99% of all the other people, the Hispanics, the Asians, ever arrived. You are the real natives in this country, not the Asians, the Arabs, or anybody from Europe. Anybody from Europe came here as freeloaders. They came here to get freeload. They didn't come here to build in the country. They came here to get free land and free black labor, and then to hire black folk and never pay them anything. Your labor, black labor, is your wealth. Your wealth. They stole your wealth from you. That's reparation. They stole us, stole trillions of dollars by out of 8 to 9 million black folk that worked hard every day. You call yourselves native black Americans, still respect Africa and still love Africa, but right now to get reparations by law, you got to be native here. And we were native people long before 99% ever got here. Most of these people.
Now, did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? And that's what I've been talking on this show since the beginning. You've always heard me say native black Americans. Now, see, that's what I knew. That stuff that they teach you in these schools, it's not true. We were the first original indigenous native black people here. Okay? Not what they try to tell you. Not the Indians, or they call them Indians. Okay? No, sir. Black people were the first people here in America, but that's something that they exclude from the educational standards here in America by trying to teach you that we were not the first people here. They try to say the Indians were. Why? They don't want to admit that they took this country from us and enslaved us. Okay? That's what happened. You know, and then these Asians and other Indian people that migrated here after we had already established here in this country, they hide that in books that they wrote. Because reparations is something that they do not want to pay out on. They never have. And I hope that Dr. Claude Anderson see it in his lifetime. I mean, he's a much older man now, in his age, whatnot. He may never see that, you know. And hopefully that I can see it in my lifetime. Don't know that I will. Hopefully my children will see it. I don't know if they will. But hopefully their children will see it. Anyway, let's get back to Dr. Claude Anderson. Let's see what more beneficial and useful information that he could give us.
People you see walking around America and were never here when slavery was here. They don't know what you're talking about. They always against anything but black folk. I love them, and I hope my people love me.
We do love you so much. Dr. Claude, I respect your time. I know today's interview was supposed to be short, so I do not want to belabor or disrespect the agreement that I made with you and your lovely wife.
Yes. No, that's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry, baby. No, I love you too much. Don't worry. I just want my people to be together. We're going to be a team, and we're going to stay a team, and they cannot beat a team. And as long as we are prepared as a team, they can't do us in, because blackness is the strongest color. Blackness would run over green, yellow, pink, any color you put on it. Blackness will wipe it out.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Any last words for us who are determined to move towards black empowerment? What must we do?
I'm sorry about these technical difficulties that we're having with these microphones. I'm going to try to get it fixed. But yeah, we're having a few issues. All right, let's see.
Right now, what do you want us to do right now? You predicted so many things. You foretold so many things. And you utilize not only your spiritual perspective, which you just mentioned about when you liken your assignment on earth to Samson. My God, I got chills all over my body when you started to say that. And then you connected with your government experience, your life experience. You know, you're a husband, you're a father, and so much more. What would you say to us right now? What do we need to do right now?
Right now, the first thing to do is get away from social integration. That's the first thing. Secondly, go back and recapture what was yours. The civil rights movement had nothing to do with whites, Asian, Arabs, any midgets, humpback, lesbians, anything else. It was strictly here to correct the Dred Scott decision of 1857. And that's why, see, right now, they've spread all these things out. Every time something's should be going to blacks. They make it for everybody. They use those broad terms. That way you'll never get anything. So first thing we must do is build communities again. Start building your own black communities, one. Point two is that in that community, you move your, put your economy in that community. And we do not have not one community in America. You cannot be competitive without communities. All we got are neighborhoods. A neighborhood is nothing. Mm. A neighborhood is where you, a hotel is a neighborhood. That's where people eat and sleep, is in a neighborhood. But you gotta have a community. And the community is where you store your wealth, your power, your voting, your strength, your schools, your education, your money, your bills and your banks, goes into a community, not into a neighborhood. And in most of these places where black folk live, that's not even a neighborhood anymore. It's gotten so bad, they now kill so many of each other that they run the neighbors out and all you got is a hood left. And that's why they call it, I mean, I'm going back to the hood. That means you're going back to nothing. And black folk must then start building everything vertically. And the first floor is economics. You build your community, you put an economic base in there. You put all your businesses in one location. Nobody's gonna drive all over town looking for you. Mm-hmm. And then you can't have one restaurant on the east side, one restaurant on the south side. You put all your businesses in one location in that community. And that's where you go and park your car every Saturday, and every black meets there, goes to the same restaurants, to the hotels. Everything of value is there for you and it's yours. In the second floor, you can use politics. But don't get into politics if you don't have any money. Mm. You'll get robbed and sent to jail. You must first get your economy in there and take the money you make in your economy and go to the second floor where politics is. Don't worry about voting. You don't have to vote anymore. You take your money and buy the damn politicians. All this out of politics, you buy them. You take your money and buy them. And if you can't buy them, you just rent them or lease them, okay? And use them. And don't let them use you anymore, okay? Then you go to it.
Ooh, y'all listen, family. We listening, yes, sir.
And in the third floor, then you go to the Justice Department and all this stuff they're talking about injustices. Then you take the politicians that you bought on the second floor, you make them take care of all that stuff, all the corruption and the misuse and abuse. And you get rid of half of these damn elected officials, judiciary appointees. All the most racist organization in America is the United States Supreme Court. Have no respect for that. They put in a place to keep black folk enslaved and to maintain racism. That's why right now you got nine people sitting up there. You said nine, I guess nine. They just put a black woman on it. But you had one. You only had one black there, and he was a false and a phony. He's up there pretending to be a black man when in fact it was a white man pretending. And yes. So he's been there for 30 years, waste of time. And then so you control your judges that way. And then you go to the fourth floor, and the fourth floor will be education, and see and art and radio television. You can learn how to get your media, control your media. You got 12,000 black radio stations. You should be owning at least 16 or 17% of them. You only got one or two now. Get your television stations. You got 5,000 television stations. You own one or two. You got 12,000 cable systems. You own maybe one of those. You should have 15% of everything. That's why I wrote the first, the second affirmative action plan in the country. I'm gonna shut up now when I tell you this. Well, the first affirmative action plan in the United States was the United States Constitution. You got to challenge that Constitution. It's that Constitution they're using to keep you enslaved and running in a circle. You saw that Constitution was put in place in 1789. It said at that point that you're going to be a slave, and you own and control nothing. And the first law they passed 1 year later in 1790 was say this is a white country. This is a white country. And the only person that can come here and be residents and enjoy all these benefits will be whites or anybody who can pass for whites. Only blacks cannot pass for whites in the country. These Asians, Arabs, Hispanics, and all of them, they pass for whites. Hispanics is nothing but a group that was controlling slavery for centuries. And now what they're doing is that they're going back, pretending somehow that they are a brother of the black people. They were never a brother to you. Anyone brought all the slaves into Latin America and Mexico and the Caribbean islands. They are the Hispanics out and are here to do you in, to replace you. You go down to Mexico, they got stamps with little symbols all on the stamps. You go, they got Cheerio boxes, but they got where black folk are running around with bowls of bones in their noses and putting white folk in a bucket and boiling them to like some kind of scallions that eating people alive. So no, you don't have any friends in America. You have no friends and no allies. You started taking care of yourselves. Build your own schools, get your own teachers, make your money bounce 8 to 12 times before it ever leaves your community. Mm-hmm. Do not let your money out of the black community. You find a black hand, put it in that black hand and say, you take this money and count it. Look at your wallet, open your wallet and count. Everything, every piece of paper in there should have 8 to 10 or 12 check marks on it. Going to mm-hmm. that black hands. Never let your money out of your community like white. Hispanics make their money bounce 6 to 8 times. Whites make their bounce 8 to 12 times. Arabs and Asians make their money bounce 13 to 14 times. And Jews make their money bounce 18 times before it leaves the Jewish community. And yet your money doesn't bounce once. You got $1.4 trillion passing through your hands. You can't hold it because you're busy giving it to whites and other groups. Coming into your community and got businesses in your community, you putting it into their hands. I quit right then, I rested, and I love you. You're a beautiful woman, you got a beautiful program, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for inviting me.
I thank you so much, family. We're gonna respect him and his wife, his family, his beautiful time here. We thank you so much. I know you all rarely take interviews. This is one of the greatest interviews of my life. And I promise you, we're gonna share it all over the place. And I wanna bow to you. I want to thank you. And I'm gonna continue, Dr. Anderson, to grow thank my you. Business so that I can continue to financially support you and the work that you're doing. So.
Thank you so much, Vicki Ditter. Thank you, Dr. Claude Anderson. This was a very informative interview, and the points that he hit on are substantial and necessary for Native Black Americans to understand and to get together and unite on this front where we have to stop ourselves from being a permanent underclass till we are annihilated and wiped out, which is the broader plan that these Mzungus have for us. So with all that being said, I want to thank y'all so much for tuning in to another episode of CWTG. As you know, I'm your host, Teddy G, and I bring y'all these stories and I give y'all this information for one reason and one reason only. That's because I love you. And loving you guys is my food. And Teddy G, which is me, is hungry each and every single day of my life. And until God grants me the opportunity to address you guys again, I bid each and every one of you peace, love, and soul.
Years of slavery, 100 years of Jim Crow, sharecropping, the Ku Klux Klan, lynchings, bombings, mass incarceration, the separation and destruction of the black family. All of that has had an effect on our mind. Our mind needs to be decolonized. We today are experiencing mental slavery, not physical slavery as once our ancestors had to endure. In my book, 7 Steps to Decolonize the Mind, we take you through every step to start releasing the chains that's on your mind. He or she who controls the mind control the person. It is in a vested interest of the white supremacist system to keep your mind bogged down in a mental slavery, throwing entertainment, throwing drugs, throwing alcohol, anything they can at you to keep you bogged down. You got to free yourself from mental slavery by purchasing our book, 7 Steps to Decolonize the Mind, today on Amazon. Make sure you share it with your family, share it with your friends. Everyone can benefit from decolonizing the mind, because once your mind is decolonized, you will never be put to sleep again.